Have you ever been rejected by family, a friend, maybe a mate even, or at work or at church? Do you hate walking on eggshells or finding yourself always trying to please people all the time? If you want a break from that, stay with me. That's today on Living on the Edge.
Welcome to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. And in this program, Chip begins a new series, Discover Your True Self. Now, it's a series that's been decades in the making. It's grown out of a very personal journey. You know, we all struggle with issues of self-worth and belonging. Chip's desire through this course of this series is that you'll learn how to access the power and the freedom Jesus makes available to overcome those issues. Now, just before we get started, let me encourage you to try using his message notes while you listen. Chip's notes contain his outline, his scripture references, and much more. They'll help you remember what you hear and maybe even share what you're learning. For a quick download, just go to livingontheedge.org and click the Broadcasts tab or tap Fill in Notes on the app. Now, if you have a Bible available, open it now to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's join Chip for his message, You Are Wanted.
What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. There's a secret law of your soul that you will gravitate towards your image of God. And that's why getting a high, holy, clear, loving, accurate picture of Him is the greatest thing you can do for every area of your life. But the second most important thing is that you can see God accurately, but He longs for you to see yourself the way He sees you. Let's do a little experiment. I want you to just think of a picture of yourself now coming to your mind, and I want you to describe yourself just in your heart of hearts. How would you describe yourself? What are the three or four words that depict you, that you think are accurate? Is it loving, caring, warm, approachable? Smart, gifted, innovative, powerful? Or is it lonely, inadequate, insecure, confused, fearful, lost, angry? Are there old labels of too tall, too skinny, too fat, loser, never amount to anything? As honest as you can, how do you actually see yourself? Not how you wish you did. Father, we ask now in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit that you will activate the gifts, our minds and our hearts, that we could hear from you today. And that as we walk out of this building, by a supernatural unction of your Spirit, that you'll take the written word and make it the living word and allow us, at least in some measure, Lord, in a significant measure, to see ourselves the way you long for us to see ourselves. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pull out your notes, what we've just talked about is something psychologists call our self-image. If you want a definition of that, it's the mental picture or conception of oneself. It's a person's idea of your self-worth. It's the composite pictures of all the mirrors. There's all kinds of things. Your parents have the biggest impact on that. Authority figures, people in authority. When you're a teenager, your peers begin to greatly influence you. Culture, media. In other words, there's all these mirrors that have told you over time who you are. And you unconsciously believe them. Some of them, actually, you believe things about yourself that you're not even aware of. It's a lot like walking to a fun house and there's a mirror when you walk in and you look 8 foot tall, and you look at another mirror, you look 8 foot wide, and you look at another mirror and you're 1 foot tall. In other words, they're all distortions. Some of you had great homes. Some of you came through horrendous homes. Some of you had traumatic experiences. Some of you were labeled early on, and all those things impact us. You have a view, it's almost unconscious of yourself, but you're living out of that. And if most of our problems are rooted in a warped view of God, I would suggest that all the rest of them are in a warped view of yourself. This isn't some academic exercise where we hope we get to the end and you can just think of yourself as wonderful and everything's great and you don't have any problems. That's not the world that we live in. But in a fallen world, everyone has warped mirrors. I can tell you about every single one of us, you do not see yourself accurately, nor do I. But the more that you do, the healthier you become. The more you do, the more you're able to receive love, and the more you're able to give love. And at the end of the day, I will tell you, there's a lot of things in life, but receiving love and giving love is all that really matters. For some, when I said, you're smart, you're warm, you're innovative, you honestly said, yeah, I think that's pretty true of me. For others, when I talked about inadequate, insecure, loser, some painful emotions, some memories came back. I have some cards that we're going to look at a little bit later, and they're cards that I would say unequivocally not only transformed my wife's life and my life, but it saved our marriage. It's a very personal series to me. My wife came from a horrendous home background and experienced rejection that I won't go into. She never heard her father say, I love you. She never got a hug that she can ever remember, and that was just the beginning. After that, like most young girls who aren't loved well by their father, they look for it other places that built tragedy and lots of pain in her life. And then she came to know Jesus, and God loved her. And I met her a couple years later. And then a year or so after that, we got married, and 18 months into our marriage, I'm thinking, I don't think this is going to work. She couldn't receive love. She was beautiful, smart, loving, caring, and passionate in her relationship with God. But when she looked in the mirror, she saw someone that was unworthy of love, who was a loser, who was rejected, who was absolutely unfit for anyone to care for her. And so she couldn't receive my love or other people's. And I will tell you what, sitting in a counselor's office trying to figure that one out was painful. By God's grace, we had a counselor that wasn't just good in psychology, but he was a theologian. He was a retired senior pastor, and he saw beyond all the psychological issues and saw that my wife had such a warped view of herself, she needed to see herself the way God saw her. And so he had her begin to write down misbeliefs that she had. A misbelief like, I need other people's approval in order to be happy. And then at the bottom, stop sign. And then the truth, I want people's approval of me, but I don't need it. With God's approval, I'm no longer compelled to earn love and acceptance. I'm free to be me. And then he gave her a passage about belonging, and she read it over. For 2 years, we would read over these cards. Because you'll notice on your notes, there's some very dysfunctional and ugly things that happen when you have a warped view of yourself. One, it builds a sense of rejection. We all deal with rejection. Some of you, it's a huge issue, some a smaller issue. But because we do, we become people pleasers at all costs. Some people that are overly sensitive to criticism, it's like, boy, don't you reject me too. For others, you withdraw to avoid. You know what? You just don't risk, you don't engage in certain things or certain activities because you don't want to get hurt. Some of your greatest success, some of your achievements, some of the reason you get up earlier and you work harder and you've made it and you've achieved and everyone thinks it's so great, behind all of that is a scared person that you always have to, because your whole value is based on what you do and how you appear. As we were reviewing all those cards, I thought I was being a loving, kind husband, helping my wife come through these deep issues. But when I read those cards, what I realized was I had all the same issues. I was actually getting rewarded for my dysfunction. I thought I had to please people. I thought I had to be successful. I thought I had to be an overachiever to the point that in my 20s, I ended up in the hospital through exhaustion. And then again in my 30s in the first church. I had a doctor say, you don't even have an immune system right now. What in the world are you doing? And I gave him my schedule and he looked at me and goes, Lee, you're an idiot. To which my wife said, I've been telling him that. He just won't listen to me. So here's what I want you to know. We're going to go on a journey. I'm going to share some of those cards with you, because what we're going to do is we're going to take the lies that we believe about ourselves and we're going to replace them with this is how and who God sees you. Open your notes, because we have a command here. And the command is, this is not an option. Our self-perception is not like, wouldn't this be nice? Romans 12, verse 3 says, for through the grace of God given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly than yourself than you ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each man a measure of faith. In other words, we are commanded not to think too high, not to think too low, but we're to think about ourselves the way God sees us. That little phrase where it says, a measure of faith, put a circle around it. This isn't your personal faith. Grammatically, this is the faith. In other words, notice the word, to think, and sober. All four of those are the same root word in Greek. This is a command. You've been given a measure of the faith. This is who you are in Christ. That's the big concept. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you died with Him, your sins have been forgiven. The big word is you were justified. In other words, you were declared legally righteous. All your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. The imputed righteousness of Christ is given to you. And so as a follower of Jesus, God sees you through the lens of the forgiveness and the blood of His Son. So are you ready for this? He loves you just as much as He loves Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. It says that if any man is in Christ, any woman is in Christ, real relationship, not in church, not in morality, in Christ, the old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's a process. But what I want you to know is, I don't think most people understand what it means to be in Christ. What have you received? How do you see yourself? My observation of most Christians is, we so are big on justification, and we should be. Oh, wow, yes, I am born again. I have a new relationship. And then it kind of stops. But the average believer doesn't know that that led to being a son or a daughter. And there's a journey. And now you have a heavenly Father and a new standing. And you don't ever live anymore trying to earn His favor. You've already got it. You have a loving, kind Heavenly Father and an elder brother, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, and He wants you to live out of a love that we already have. But getting that from here to here and out in your life, wow, that's a journey. So where do we get this accurate view of God? We could go a lot of places, but I would say the book of Ephesians is probably the best that I know of. The book is a circular letter that is written to the churches in Asia Minor. And the Apostle Paul had been there for quite a while. And what he wanted to do, it's a huge metropolitan city, a very influential city. So it was going to be read here and all the other places. And what he's going to help them understand is, first three chapters, this is what you've received, and this is who you are in Christ. The next four chapters, this then, in light of what you've already received, is how you live. And so he opens it up, very common beginning, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints. That means just the holy, set-apart people that have trusted Christ, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this general opening. Now, here's what you need to get. The structure of this passage, I encourage you maybe to follow along in your Bible or your phone, whatever you use. Verse 3 all the way through verse 14 is one long sentence. I think it's the longest one in the New Testament. And what happens is verse 3 is the thesis. He makes this amazing, amazing statement, and all the rest of the verses, in all these prepositional phrases, he's going to wind us through a journey to say, all these spiritual blessings, and I think he just went off. I think the Holy Spirit just captured him, and he goes, here's all that we have. And he just started going We're chosen, we're adopted, we're redeemed, we have an inheritance, we've been sealed. But here's where he starts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, now that you're a part of God's family, every spiritual blessing he's given to them, here's our phrase again, in Christ. Now I need to make a quick disclaimer here. Everything I'm going to talk about from here on is written to those that are in Christ. If you happen to be visiting or if you're checking out Christianity, I'm going to talk about this is how God sees those who are in Christ. This isn't true of the whole world. Now, what I will tell you is that he's pursuing you and he wants you and he loves you, and you need to hear, if you would like to join his family, this is the relationship he wants for you. But this is not how God feels about everyone. The fact of the matter is that we were all rebels. We were all hostile to God. And until we understood that we needed forgiveness and we turned to him and received forgiveness through Christ, these things aren't true. But notice what he says about those of you that understood and humbled yourself and realized, I need help. He says, just, what's the spiritual blessing? Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. As you look at that, you notice there's a few key words. One, every spiritual blessing begins with this. It's he chooses you. In other words, you might write in your notes, God wants me. Some of you are know someone that you want to date or you want to marry. Some of you are looking for someone to fill a position and you want this kind of person. This word is used negatively. The FBI has a top 10 list that they really want and they're pursuing. If you want them, what do? You pursue them. Here's what I want you to know. This is an amazing thing. God wants you. He wants you for himself. I remember as a kid, I grew up in the suburbs, so it was, you know, lawn, driveway, lawn, driveway, lawn, driveway. This is a touchdown, this is a touchdown. And the big kids would play, and it was tackle. Stupid, I know. And I was always 3 or 4 years younger, and I was small, and I was skinny. And so they would pick up sides, and I'd get down to the last two guys, and it was just, here's what, choose me, choose me, choose me. I'm a stupid young kid. I'll dive on the concrete. I'll make you laugh. I'll try and tackle the big guys. I'll do whatever you want. I just want to belong. I just want to be on the team. And you know, that desire is in you and me. Just the teams change, don't they? I want to be on that team. I want to be in that fraternity. I want to be in the group that lives in that section of town. I want to be in the group whose kids go to that college. I want to be someone that when they look at me at the gym, I have that kind of body. I want to belong. I want to be wanted. Do you realize so much of our lives is doing crazy things to want to belong to other people that honestly they don't care too much about us? And God says, I want you. I care about you. You know, I hear Christians have been Christians for a long time, and a series of circumstances will happen, and if it's good, they go, wow, it's really lucky. Really? There's no order, there's no plan, it's just life is about chance, you were just lucky? Instead of, you know, a sovereign God orchestrated these circumstances in this way. And then there's another group that something happens, and it's like, God predestined that that car, that color, would be in this spot, and my whole world has been planned for me, and I'm a robot. Everything is predestined. So let me give you a good definition of predestination and how it applies to this passage. Predestined means God has determined beforehand that those who believe in Christ will be adopted in his family and be conformed to the image of his son. The theological concepts are twofold, and I just want to touch on this because I don't want your mind going places rather than why this passage was written. sovereignty of God. The scripture clearly teaches that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and in control from eternity past to eternity future. He knows the beginning from the end. Right? That's just a truth. That's a reality. You read this book from the beginning to the end, God is never surprised. By contrast, or actually in parallel, the responsibility of man. As you read through, scripture equally teaches that men and women are responsible and culpable for their actions. They must choose to accept or reject a relationship with God. So it's not like everything is all lined out and your choices don't matter. We hold these two truths in tension, and we do, it produces a couple things. One, reverence for God's word. When the Apostle Paul, who wrote all about this idea of sovereignty and responsibility, when he got done, he didn't have an argument. He broke into praise and said, oh, the depth of the riches of both the knowledge and the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his ways and his paths beyond finding out. And so what we know is it does a couple things. One, reverence for God's word, and then humility with each other, and just awe for the unsearchable wisdom of God. Here's what I want you to get. Often when people go through Ephesians, they want to argue about, is it more responsibility or is it more sovereignty? And can you imagine getting a love letter from someone overseas and arguing about, now is this blue ink or black ink, because I can't quite tell, and miss the point? It's a love letter. The purpose is, I want you, I love you, and here's the implications. This wasn't written for people to debate. This was written for people to know that the awesome God who spoke the galaxies into existence sent God the Son, and he died in your place. And when he did, you cannot just be forgiven, but he wants you and whosoever will. The scripture says God is not willing or desiring that any should perish, but all would come to a knowledge of the truth. And he says, Ephesians, I chose you just like I chose Israel, and I chose Israel not to reject other nations. I chose them so they would be a light to share it with other people.
You've been listening to Chip's message, You Are Wanted, from his series, Discover Your True Self, How to Silence the Lies of Your Past and Actually Experience Who God Says You Are. Chip will be right back with his application, but before he is, I hope you'll take a second to go online or tap share and encourage others to join us for this series too. You know, we all struggle with doubts about self-worth and value, but the facts about who we are change when we put our faith in Jesus. Chip's teaching from the book of Ephesians to help us understand who we are as believers in Christ. He explains the nature of the new creation we become and how to leave old things and doubts in the past. For a limited time, resources for Discover Your True Self are discounted, and the MP3s are always free. Now, to order your copy or to send it to a friend, visit us online at livingontheedge.org. For additional information, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, as you've pastored over the years, I know you've seen the heartache people live with because, well, number one, we don't really understand who God is, and number two, we don't know who we are in his eyes. And because of that, we live with insecurity and conflict, always trying to protect ourselves. Well, how does this series help us get past those misunderstandings?
Dave, historically, this has been at the core of humanity. And when we don't feel loved, when we don't see ourselves as beautiful and valued, when we don't have purpose and know what God has made us for, we will always tend to point out the negative or the difference in other people and make them the bad person. And what we need to understand is that when we understand who God made us to be, that we are his workmanship, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto a good work, that before the foundations of the earth, he's planned for each one of us. And when we do that together as white Christians and black Christians and Asian Christians, as Republican Christians and Democrat Christians, for the glory of God, that's how we make a difference. But until we see ourselves accurately, we will never be secure enough to love other people impartially. And so I'm inviting our listeners to do daily discipleship with me beginning September 14th, and we're going to study Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3 right out of the Bible together, and then I'm going to offer them the book, Discover Your True Self, so that as we study that, they can begin to see, what does that look like in my daily life? How could God use an ordinary person like me? The fact of the matter is, we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, and our dream at Living on the Edge is to help people activate that and be that every day in every way for the glory of God.
Well, if you have a pen handy, let me give you all the details on this great offer. Beginning September 14th, Chip's going to sit down with you to do a brand new daily discipleship study. Now, each session will only be about 10 minutes, and over the course of the study, he'll walk you through the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. As an added bonus, if you'll commit to doing the entire study and register by September 7th, we'll send you his new book, Discover Your True Self, absolutely free. Now, to sign up for daily discipleship with Chip, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. For more information, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
Well, as we wrap up today's program, some of you may have heard, I am really excited about the series. And honestly, it's been a teaching, a journey that I've been on for decades. And you're going to hear very practical ways of it started with me and Teresa that grew out of actually marriage counseling and some really dramatic things that she went through, and then it impacted our relationship. And we realized that we believed lots of lies, lies about belonging, about being valued, about what makes us significant, lies about our purpose and our worthiness. And for her, at times, is she competent to do anything? And she obviously was, but her self-view, the warped mirrors, like we talked about in her life, were deeply, deeply warped. And it wasn't until counseling and we were going through things together that I realized mine were just as warped. And, you know, we all long to belong. We all long to be valued. We all need security. We want to feel competent and like we can do things that were made for a purpose. And God has provided all of those things. And yet, we tend to look for those things by what we accomplish, how we look, and what other people think. And so what we're going to do in this series and what we're going to learn is how to experience who God says we are and what he's accomplished because what he did in Christ. And that begins with grasping who he sees you to be. Loved, wanted, valued, significant, beautiful, and competent. And when those things get from your head to your heart, I will tell you, your life will dramatically, dramatically change. I can't wait to continue the journey with you in our next program. See you then.
Well, just before we close, I want to thank each of you who's making this program possible through your generous giving. 100% of your gifts are going directly to the ministry to help Christians really live like Christians. Now, if you found Chip's teaching helpful, but you're not yet on the team, would you consider joining up today? To donate, just go to livingontheedge.org, tap Donate on the app, or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. And let me thank you in advance for whatever the Lord leads you to do. Well, I hope you'll join us again next time. And until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.